every military analyst from Russia, the RAND Corporation, the Pentagon, no one disagrees. The International Atomic Association of Scientists with their doomsday clock in Chicago. It is the closest to nuclear war we've ever been on the threat escalation ladder.
We have a plan. We know what to do. So let us deliver. We must.
We will, of course, continue working closely with our partners in NATO. This is a moment for Europe, and we are ready to step up.
The Secretary General of NATO warning about the prospect of war, and he put it in really stark terms. Yeah. He said, we are Russia's next target, and we are already in harm's way. And you sort of wonder why he's saying that now, and it's partly about a message to European people. You do need to spend money on defense, yes, but also getting people ready psychologically as well. Yeah.
Now we are dealing with the third form of totalitarianism. This time it is liberal totalitarianism. So they are going to sacrifice everything, any normal rational interests, any normal values, in order to promote their crazy maniac agenda.
He said a short while ago, in some previous comments earlier, that we must be prepared for the scale of war our grandparents or great-grandparents endured.
We all agree that Ukraine is our first line of defense. We have to step up the military support for Ukraine.
Unelected dictatorship, Ursula von der Leyen, allied with the British Empire, that's the modern Hitler, the real thing. That is psychotic megalomania. That will get us all killed. That's the number one threat on Earth right now. This witch.
I want the leader of the European Union, which is now Ursula von der Leyen, to be democratically elected, because now he's not elected. She comes inside the European Parliament and we say yes or no, but I think it's more of a show than actually a vote, because she makes deals with all the political parties from before to vote.
The real problem, it is the nuclear fight, war between Russia and United States of America. That is the last call. That is apocalypse. That is Armageddon. If we could limit, if we could reduce this danger, this threat to European Union, and if United States will stay out of it, I think that is the main reason why nuclear war will not happen.
Number one, the war is won. Russia has won. If you want to stop the bleeding, if you want to have some sort of impact on how much further the Russians go in terms of absorbing territory, then sit down and admit that the war is over, that they've won, and hammer out some sort of solution. Because if you don't, this nonsense sponsored by MI6, the CIA, and Mossad in Kiev is going to continue. And as it continues, the Russians will move forward until they're confident that they have secured enough space, not just territory, but space, frankly, that allows them to feel secure as a nation.
That Russia is not going to attack Europe. It's funny for us. It's laughable because we never wanted to attack Europe. Okay, let's put it in writing. But there are some people who are not particularly, shall we say, with us. I don't know. There may be some crooks when everything is being fed to the society and the citizens are scared and they want to hear that we don't have any aggressive plans towards Europe.
Our own GOP senators that are coming out against it. Let me give you a wild guess as to where they are personally invested with in regards to their stock portfolios. You guessed it.
Trump's got to take the gloves off. Don't just leave NATO. Break up the EU. There's all these states that don't want to be under it. Most of them didn't even vote to get in it. It literally was set up as a trade deal scam, Treaty of Rome in 56. Point out it's unelected. Point out they're killing all these AfD candidates. Point out it's the new Hitler. And just break it up. We can do this.
We have a new product in
and thealexshowstore.com. Now, you've been asking for DNA Force. Well, we brought it back, but even stronger. And ladies and gentlemen, if you want stamina, energy, clarity with no letdown and incredible health, this is it. Ultra DNA Revival. And it's key to understand that all of the ingredients in this are organically derived. You can buy synthetic versions that don't work as good. In some cases, it can be toxic for maybe 10% of the price. But despite the fact this has top-end ingredients, it's still very, very affordable. Now, you can go spend a day, and I hope you do, thealexshowstore.com, looking at the ingredients that are in this and then looking at how they're organically derived and how each ingredient itself is a game changer for you and your family. So if you want to boost your clarity, your focus, your energy, your immune system, your overall health, this is the product for you. And the first run is now available right now at thealexshowstore.com.
Now, back to our program.
Peeling back the layers of the day's events to reveal the core truth. War Room with Harrison Smith.
All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is War Room. We're going to go out to your phone calls here. Just before we do, I was talking about Europe before we closed out, and I want to explain another phenomenon that happens to me when I'm news gathering. I'll see a video, and I have no idea what it's expressing. I'm just like, what? And like all, half the comments are like, this is AI. I go to Grok, try to figure out what's going on. And it's like you're suddenly unveiled. I mean, a rabbit hole really is the right term for it. Where you just you think, oh, there's a little divot in the lawn. And then it's like, no, there's actually like a giant warren underneath with all these different tunnels. So I didn't even know this was going on. Then I find this video, see this video on my timeline of a French guy who looks like he's crying blood, like weeping about being abused by the French government. And it's like, what the hell is even going on? So I did some research. I found out what's going on. We'll go to the video first. The 9-second video here. Actually, I accidentally crossed it off. Which one? Number 9. Yes, here's a French farmer, blood in his eye, protesting against the government, which is killing all of their cows, apparently. Let's watch.
Regardez comme ils nous traitent, ils nous prennent tout. On n'a plus rien, on est traité comme des moins que rien. C'est nous qui nourrissons les Français, c'est nous. Et regardez ce qu'on subit.
So I don't know how we got blood in his eye, but the translation is essentially they're abusing us. You know, what did we do? We are the people that feed France, and look at how they're abusing us. I'm just like, what the hell is this about? French farmers vow to continue stop the slaughter protests. French farmers on Monday, today, vowed not to let up their protest against the mass slaughter of cows to control an infectious bovine disease, promised to keep going until Christmas unless the coal is ended. Many breeders have been incensed by the use of police force and the government's mass slaughter policy to stop the spread of nodular dermatitis, also known as lumpy skin disease. Farmers are also upset that the European Union this week is expected to sign on a trade deal with South America that they say will flood the market with cheap products that will outcompete them. Agricultural workers have blocked the roads since vets on Friday slaughtered a herd of more than 200 cows in a village near the Spanish border after discovering a single case of the disease. Police used tear gas to clear away the angry demonstrators protecting the cattle in Le Bordes sur Aries. Apologies for trying to speak French. So they've been blocking roads and protesting for weeks, and there's this disease called lumpy skin disease that I guess affects cows but doesn't affect humans. And they basically have just said, the French government has said, you know, we want to stop this disease, so if any cow is discovered to have the disease, we're killing all of your cows. And it just seems like they are culling cows for yet another reason. It's like, I can't even think of all the reasons that Europe has given for why they're just systematically eliminating their agricultural and farming industries, but that's just what they're doing. It's just like, oh, it's about emissions, it's about cow farts, it's about Actually, it's about nitrogen in the soil. Actually, it's about lumpy skin disease. Actually, it's about bird flu. And it's just like at every pass, they're just systematically destroying the ability of Europe to feed itself. It's not a coincidence that all these things are happening. So again, it's just we try to focus on so many different things. We try to keep our eye on so many different balls, different plates spinning here. And then you just totally miss. It's like, oh, and by the way, you don't know this, but for weeks, the French government has been systematically killing every cow they can get their hands on. And the French farmers are trying to stop them and being abused in the process. Okay, great. So the genocide continues. With that, we go out to your calls. Thank you so much for calling and holding, everybody. Let's go to Jeffrey in Ohio first. Of course, the question I asked for our callers was, have we wasted the last decade? We got the uprising. It is here. The scales have been lifted. The veil has been torn. And everything is worse. How did that happen? Jeffrey in Ohio, thanks for calling in. You're on the air.
Hey, Harrison. Nice to talk to you again, buddy. Just to clarify, too, I am not in Ohio. I'm an Idahoan.
Idaho. Thank you.
No offense. No worries. But yeah, I was just responding to your initial conversation point that you were trying to bring up, which is, are we in a better place than we were 10 years ago, or are we headed in the right direction, if that's what I believe you were asking,
yeah,
right?
More
is
or
that kind of what I got?
Yeah.
So I'm like a 42-year-old guy with two kids. So when I started this whole political run, my kids were very young, and there was a lot of, I grew up in California, lived in California up until 2 years ago. And so I would say, you know, I was very pessimistic about where we were, but I think the more that I start to see the youth mature, and we're starting to see more of these younger men come up, and they're starting to talk a lot more like the way I did when I was in high school.
Right.
And so I think in a weird way, I feel like these young kids that are growing up, they're going to naturally rebel. And so there was this period of time where it wasn't okay to be a certain type of man. Mm-hmm. And now it's more like, I think this next generation is like, no, we're not going to do this anymore. Even my son, he's 11, and he makes points all the time that I never thought he would be making observational comments about, like the communities we live in, the people running the media. I mean, the fact that our youth is aware of like the global stuff that we weren't is kind of where I'm getting at. Like it took me being 30 to wake up to the J and to wake up to the global elites and all this stuff. I mean, my son's 11 and him and his friends talk about this stuff at school. So, I mean,
so
I think in a weird.
Yeah. So that's really interesting because that has been a major change. Is it's like it used to be that you had to be a certain type of person. You had to go out of your way to find this information. We were talking about it on Moonbase last week because, you know, in a weird way, there was a natural filter where websites like 4chan, where people would post this stuff, were so just offensive on the eyes, right? Like any normie that would go there would just immediately click out because, like, you could just see it's gross, it's weird, it's offensive, and like, there was just, you had to be a certain type of person that would just shrug that type of stuff off, because hidden within all of the insanity were nuggets of truth and you had to go out and find it. So the difference now is that people are growing up knowing this stuff. Whereas, you know, like I was red pilled, you know, much younger than most people, but now it's all like coming at once. And that in and of itself, it's like, okay, it's good that people are waking up, but with everybody getting the deluge of information all at once, getting, you know, it took me 20 years to research. They're getting it in 3 months, and it's like breaking their brains and making people just, you know, go crazy. So that's all an aspect of this, Jeffrey, is like, is it good that people are waking up so rapidly, or is that just going to make them go crazy or, you know, be even more susceptible to the lies in the future? So that's interesting, and that's definitely I think that's a positive that young people growing up are hyper aware of this stuff.
I agree. And that's the thing is like my son, he's observing this stuff on his own. Like I was a proud boy. Trust me. Like I started off as a MAGA-tard and then I moved into the PBs and then I became a white nationalist and I became, you know, whatever you call me now, which is more of an independent. But my son, him just being an observational 11-year-old kid, the conversations he comes home and tells me his friends are talking about on the playgrounds are not conversations that I would have ever expected. You know, like right. I'm thinking Pokemon and like Transformers and stuff. I gave my son a ride home today with his friend, and he's asking me if Hitler was really as bad as they're telling him in school. And he's like, I thought that he was this evil person. And he goes, but I've been more, I look into it. He doesn't seem, and this is an 11-year-old kid asking me questions about a guy that has been portrayed in such a negative light that where they're asking, man, is this possible? Like, is this, and I said, just think about this. If Trump is portrayed as Hitler today, how would you think that they're going to defend, how can people defend Hitler 90 years later, right?
One of my favorite sayings, today's fake news becomes tomorrow's unquestionable history. That's, that's the path it takes. No, it's, look, the awakening is on, and there's not a lot that can be done to stop it. And like I've said a million times, when it comes to something like Hitler, if you, like, yeah, intelligent, inquisitive people are going to see information missing, right? If you go, oh, the German people just all of a sudden woke up, were tricked by this guy Hitler, were evil for a couple years, and then snapped out of it. It's like, okay, that doesn't make any sense. So what am I missing? What are you not telling me? And they're going to go look for that. And surprise, surprise, the only people telling the other side of the story are the fervent Hitler lovers. So they're going to get that, you know, perspective. When if this was all just treated like it's supposed to be, your kid wouldn't be confused or have questions. It all makes sense, actually, why the German people would gravitate to Hitler, why he acted the way that he did, why he's portrayed as he is now. Like, it's actually not all that confusing, and it's irresponsible to lie to children about this for their whole lives. They're going to realize it if they're smart. Wow, very interesting stuff, Jeffrey. So it sounds to me like Jeffrey's saying the awakening in and of itself is monumental and good. Overall, would that be a fair assessment, Jeffrey? I'm going to move on to another caller, but a good thing that this is happening.
Yes, Harrison, I would say it's an amazing thing, and I just want to say God bless you, dude, for doing an amazing job helping Alex and continuing to fight, okay? And so, again, just God bless you, Broham, and Merry Christmas and Happy New Year, and God bless all of you out there. Christ is King.
Well, thank you very much, and congratulations on your kid. It sounds like he's going to go very far, and congratulations on getting out of California and into Idaho, not as somebody bringing California with them, but as somebody who recognizes what they were escaping. Let's go now to, this is actually a great comparison. Here's Alan, who's in California and thinks that we have wasted the last decade. So, Alan, thanks for calling in. You're on the air.
Harrison Smith, can you hear me?
I hear you loud and clear.
Well, you're the man, the myth, the legend. And I'm so glad that call came in front of me. So I'm very happy for that young man. And I'm a much older man. In fact, my son is probably the same age or older than that young man who's in Idaho. And, you know, I've struggled with this because we, as being born and bred and born in California over 60 years ago, you know, you never like to run away from a fight. Does that make sense?
Of course.
So here's the thing, and I'm very pleased, but in a way we've wasted the last 10 years because we keep just not fighting the battle. This brings me back to earlier in your show today. And by the way, as a bit of a sidebar, I was the last call that you had on September 9th, Tuesday, the day before Charlie got executed. Charlie Kirk got executed. If you go back to your archives, I was the last call. And I called in, and we only had not even 90 seconds, and you said, I'd like to talk to you again, Alan. And I wanted to call in the next day, but then, of course, Charlie Kirk was executed, and I used that word for a specific reason.
Right.
Okay?
Well, I'm glad you've called in now.
And thank you for that. The point is, I was about to tell you that day on 9/9 Tuesday that we were going into a civil war in America. Time, Charlie Kirk, Robinson kid, he was not shot with a .30-06, in my humble opinion. But I've spent, because I'm retired now, and all I spend is time going into this. And you should look up, and I would encourage yourself and anybody else listening, Baron Coleman on YouTube. He's a lawyer out of Tennessee. He's done a huge deep dive. There's, in my opinion, about a lot of reasons to believe that there was a hit on him. He was executed electrically. I'll just leave it at that. And this all dovetails into what happened in Sydney, Australia over the weekend, and all the anti-Semitism push and everything. there is a civil war being pushed in this country and in all the Western countries right now. And it comes back to the prior caller, which, God bless him, I'm glad he's in Idaho and his 11-year-old son's doing a great job. But it grieves my heart that we're sitting here thinking that these 11-year-old kids, we're going to, you know, we're happy about their eyes opening and awaking. That's great. But me as a man in my 60s, I thank the Lord that my son is a law enforcement. I'll leave it at that. My brother-in-law is law enforcement. They told me, that's why I called you on 99. They said, we have a civil war coming. 2026 is going to be extremely bad. And 2027 is going to be worse because that's when the war is going to kick off with China and Russia. And I just get so annoyed as much as I've voted for Trump every time, multiple times. I mean, legally, he doesn't draw the hammer down. He's too busy making deals with his son-in-law, Kushner, and Qatar and all this and the tariffs. Sometimes you got to drop the hammer. Okay, if the stock market, which will hurt me too, will drop a significant amount. Sometimes you got to take the bitter medicine to get to a better, to cure the disease. Does that make sense? I'll be quiet now and let you respond.
Absolutely, that makes sense. And, you know, your comment reminded me of this comment from Classical Theist that I meant to bring up today anyway, because I think he sort of hit the nail on the head here. It's in response to Donald Trump sort of going after Rob Reiner. Rob Reiner was murdered, and he basically says he had Trump derangement syndrome. And it's just like, this isn't quite the time to celebrate Trump. And Classical Theist, in response to this, says, when Trump delivers on nothing and throws his core supporters under the bus, the only thing you're left with are the vices and character flaws that you were originally forced to tolerate for the sake of perceived greater good. I think that's kind of a brilliant interpretation. It's like, yeah, he's always kind of a jerk. He always would, you know, snap at people. And it was like, you know, usually it's funny. Usually it's actually the people deserve it. So it's not even like a bad thing anyway. But, you know, if you're worried about the you know, political atmosphere becoming a little bit, you know, impolite, you go, well, you know, he's not the most polite. I don't like how he talks, but he gets things done, but he's a fighter, but he's going to work with us. And then it's like, okay, but if we're not getting anything, if he's not succeeding in all the ways that he should be, and he's still being very fractious like this, very rough around the edges, it's a lot more difficult to justify and be okay with. And again, it seems like they're recognizing that their lack of action is driving people away, and then they think they can just do a bunch of really hardline rhetoric and that's going to help. And it's just like, I think more people are getting on board with where I've been for a while, which is like, you guys need to stop talking and start doing. I don't want to hear anymore. Steve Miller over the weekend had something where it was like, Trump has said he's going to step in and stop all the H-1B visas or whatever. And it's like, okay, do it then. If you do it, you don't have to say you're going to do it. And every time you say you're going to do something, it just makes me think you're never going to actually do it, because if you're actually going to do it, you would just do it. But telling us you're going to do it means to me you want the benefits of doing something. You want people to celebrate it as if you've done it, but then you never actually do it. So what is the point anymore? Why are you talking? Why are you saying all of this stuff that you never actually do? So yeah, it's very frustrating. Thanks so much for the call, Alan. I do appreciate that. And the Civil War. The whole problem with the idea of a civil war is the fact that we have China and Russia and all of these enemies around the world waiting for our guard to go down. Like that, and again, we've been saying this for 5 years of just like, if America goes into a state of civil war, the left faction, whatever that looks like, however that manifests, will not hesitate a single moment to beg international forces to rush into America. Plus, they have all of their networks seeded here over 4 years of completely unrestricted immigration, in which you saw thousands and thousands of clearly highly trained Chinese operatives coming into the United States, some of them even caught, you know, sending messages back to China, spying on military installations, all sorts of stuff. So it's like, okay, if we become vulnerable, they will wipe us out. So civil war is like kind of never an option, which is why a political solution is absolutely necessary. Not just preferable, necessary. Which is why, you know, I said earlier this week, people were saying, you know, here's what happens if the Democrats get back in charge. Filibuster ended, pack the Supreme Court, get rid of the guns, get rid of free speech, start arresting political dissidents. Like, it might actually be preferable to go to civil war while we are in power. If Trump had balls, if he really was a Caesar 2.0, then he would use the U.S. military to shut down all of the bubbling up civil war activity and set us right, and we could actually survive and not become vulnerable to outside forces. But we need the government to actually act on behalf of Americans. If they don't, it's up to us, and the whole thing becomes a chaotic mess. So we're in a civil war. Only one side's fighting, our side, which actually has, you know, it's like, who was I talking to? I was talking to a guest here, and it was when, I think it was when TPUSA was being attacked by Antifa. I think I was talking to Stuart Rhodes, and it was like, you see a gang, a mob street gang of leftists, and my impulse is to be like, where's our street gang? Where are the Proud Boys? Where are the Oath Keepers? If they have street gangs, we need street gangs. But then you think about it and you go, well, wait, if the factions are radical lefty anti-American scum versus America, patriots, MAGA, law enforcement, then like our gang is the United States government. If we need to come together to protect ourselves with force, we have an institution for that. It's called the government of the United States military, and our law enforcement. That's supposed to be our team. Their team can be the rabble-rousers. They can be the radical anarchists trying to burn things down. Our team is supposed to be the duly impaneled and, you know, appropriately authorized monopolizers of force in this country, and we're supposed to use them as if they're our team to defend us against our enemies, who are the Antifa people. We don't need a gang of rabble running around fighting their gang of rabble. We need to use the power that we have because we won the election, and that's what's determined who has power in the country. So, yeah, I'm right there with you. We're going to go out to your phone calls more on the other side. I do want to remind you, you are running out of time rapidly. You only have a few hours left to take advantage of the biggest sale we've ever had at thealexjonesstore.com. 40% off absolutely everything in the store, and you want to order it by tonight, not only to get the 40% off discount, but also to make sure it arrives by Christmas. Do your Christmas shopping today. It is the final day for this incredible, unprecedented sale where you're saving 40% off absolutely everything site-wide. No code needed. You've got to place your orders by tonight, December 15th, in order to receive them by Christmas. Go check out the Ultramethylene Blue. Ultramethylene Red is back in stock as well. Those two together are an absolute powerhouse. Of course, each of them alone is a powerhouse, but they're designed to work synergistically. Methylene Red boosting Ultramethylene Blue. Some people take medication. They can't take Ultramethylene Blue. So Ultramethylene Blood, Red is there. You can take that, and it doesn't have the same, you know, medical conflicts as Ultramethylene Blue does. So don't miss out, folks. This offer ends tonight, December 15th. Visit thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison to let them know who sent you. Fuel your body, mind, and support us as we charge into the future. Hopefully not leading a contingent in the Civil War, but I guess we will if we have to.
I have not yet begun to fight. That's what the founder of the U.S. Navy, John Paul Jones, said back in 1779. And that's exactly where we are right now. You see this bad boy right here? That is a limited edition original InfoWars poster. We got about 1,000 that are unsigned, 500 that are signed, and that's it. And it is the final Hail Mary to keep InfoWars on the air. We've sold out of almost every product at InfoWarsStore.com. We had the bankruptcy, they won't let us order new products, but we were able to get this produced. This is an emergency fundraiser. It's myself, actual screenshot from the show, with a 357 Magnum aimed at the globalist, the truth gun, with John Paul Jones, the founder of the U.S. Navy, saying, I have not yet begun to fight. And 1997 to 2026, how long InfoWars survived. Hopefully we go past that with my signature. This is a limited edition poster, signed or unsigned. It goes to keep us on the air. They're going to have an auction. They're saying in January. They already had a federal auction that was rigged and fake, and the judge shut it down. This is a state auction. Good guys are going to try to buy InfoWars. We'll stay on air as InfoWars if they're successful. If they're not, we move on to the Alex Jones Network. But regardless, if we don't have funds coming in December and January, there won't be money for payroll. There won't be money for the bandwidth or the servers or the satellites. So it's absolutely essential you get this. And if we get shut down, you have a memento of the final resistance at InfoWars that is so historic to hang on your wall. And there's not just this poster. We've made 1,000 of these two other posters that I designed as well. One says, defend the West, 1997-2026, InfoWars, with the archetypal Knight of the West standing against the globalist. There's another, make no peace with evil, with another Knight of the Crusades standing with the cross in his hand against the globalist tyranny. Both are powerful posters as well. These are limited edition. You can get signed copies if you really want to support us, or just get the regular posters as well if you want to support us. But all three of these posters are limited edition, right now exclusively available at InfoWarsStore.com. This is historic. We've come so far together. The deep state spent hundreds of millions of dollars trying to shut us down. We still got a chance to win. But if we don't have the funds coming in December and January, we will shut down. So I want to thank you all for your past support. I want to encourage you now to go to InfoWarsStore.com, where everything else is sold out and there's no more funds to buy more stuff to keep us on the air. And just by attrition, they will win and shut us down by not having money for payroll if you don't decide to bail out this organization that has had incredible results against the tyrants and has stood for you and your family and all of us collectively. So take action now and get the iconic limited edition I Have Not Yet Begun to Fight, John Paul Jones, Alex Jones poster, and Make No Peace with Evil and Defend the West posters, limited edition, and know historically you stood with the tip of the spear at the key part of this fight, and we never gave up, and we never surrendered, and we stood and fought on our feet instead of groveling on our knees as slaves. Thank you so much. I've fired the bat signal. Thank you for all your past support, but now is the critical time to take action at InfoWarsStore.com for these three limited edition iconic posters. The ball's in your court. Take action now at InfoWarsStore.com. It's now up to you.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
All right, folks, welcome back. We got a lot of calls still rolling in. Answering the question, have we wasted the last 10 years or not? Again, I'm not even blaming Trump, because Trump was the catalyst to all of this, right? Without Trump's run, we'd be in the third term of President Hillary Clinton by this point. And I would have been in jail or incinerated somewhere. So it's not like it's a bad thing this has happened. It's just, I was just thinking about, like, yeah, we're in a place now where we should be rapidly rounding up all the deep state. But like, that was the position in 2016. 2016, we had the critical mass of the number of people aware of just how evil our deep state was. And Trump, with all of the impetus he ever needed to tear it all apart. And we sort of gave him leeway in the first administration because it was so stacked against him and the deep state was so entrenched. I didn't expect him to, clean the whole thing out. But now here we are a year into his second administration, 10 years after he first goes down the golden escalator, and it doesn't seem like he's doing a tenth of what he should be. And I wonder if we're not, being set up for just abject, abysmal failure and we got a lot of people, a lot of different views on this. So we'll go first to Will in California, and then we'll go to Tony in New Jersey after this. So stay on the line, Tony. Will in California first. Go ahead, Will. You're on the air.
Hey, Harrison. Good to talk to you. Miss you in the mornings, but love you in the afternoons.
Thank you for following me over.
Oh, absolutely, man. If we've learned anything over these last 10 years, it's that personnel is over policy, and Trump said it himself. Susie Wiles is the most powerful person in the world. You know, she could start a war with a phone call, but also more recently, Trump said, she said Trump doesn't know it yet, but he's going to be campaigning like it's 2024. But if he's out stumping for Republican candidates, he won't be focusing on his own political agenda. And he may even potentially cost Republican seats if his poll numbers fall any farther. He's often hidden also in his true social echo chamber, tweeting out insult posts, chasing away critical thinkers like MTG and Massey, etc. But, you know, he seems so disconnected, and Susie has him bubble wrapped. She's admittedly in charge with ties to corporate lobbying still, and Bibi's 2020 campaign. She creates the bubble that no America-only candidate can ever penetrate. It's sad for the American taxpaying citizens, but we must continue to demand accountability. It's personnel is policy.
Yeah, I completely agree. I'm not sure if you saw my coverage, but I was pretty incensed at what Susie Wiles was saying. I tweeted it out saying Susie Wiles plans to have Trump campaign across the country for Republicans in 2026. So she'll run Trump ragged, crisscrossing the country, completely distracting him from his presidential duties while campaigning for Republicans who do nothing but stab him in the back anyway. So I agree. I think this is really unacceptable. And again, yeah, sort of shocked and outraged. He's like, he doesn't know this yet, but we've scripted his whole next year for him. And it's just like, but why? It's like we have the Congress and the Senate right now, and they're doing absolutely nothing for him. So I don't even see the point of campaigning for these people anyway. Should be using that time and energy, not putting himself out there. Where, and again, it's like the challenges of Secret Service doing this. I bet they're even gonna like try to sue him over this. If I was a Democrat, I'd be going, so the president is going to be using American taxpayer dollars to campaign for his political friends, like, this is unprecedented. We're going to sue to stop him from using Secret Service resources to go city to city. I wouldn't be surprised if they even did that. So again, it's just like nothing but trouble, nothing but problems. So I tend to agree with you. Now, Tony in New Jersey has a different view. Thank you for the call, Will. Tony in New Jersey on line 10 says Trump is doing it all right. And I've heard this argument a lot. So lay it out for me, Tony. What is Trump doing that's impressing you so much?
Harrison Hill, it's just real complicated, the whole thing. It's taken a long, long time. I think the first time when he was in, he went to over 200 countries. And I think they're all on the same page as us. And this is happening on a global scale. So it's going to take time. And, like, you know, why is this person not taken out? Why is that person still in? I think because he needs the leverage. And that's why he keeps people in.
Okay, so and you think,
you know,
you think he's sort think of setting everything in place for a big grand finale, or what do you think? How do you think this is going to play out?
Yes, I think it's going to happen in a big way, like a really big way, and just it's all you know, and everybody's you know preparing for it, you know, and like you know they say there's you know certain people are you know playing parts and all this stuff going on, central casting and all of that. And, you know, a lot of it, I think, is true because it's a difficult, you know, scary game everybody's playing. And it's just like, wow, this is amazing.
You know,
it's just amazing to me. I haven't followed this. I only followed this since after 2014. And because I stumbled upon InfoWars, I was like, oh, my God, if I knew this 10 years ago, what was going on? Like, if I'd listened to Alex, he's 10 years older than me, Alex. If I was listening to this 10 years ago, oh, my God. They never would have beat me. See, just real quick, they polluted my property where I live in northern New Jersey at the top of the mountain.
I got a great well. They polluted it. They thought I was going to move. I didn't move. I was clean after a year. All of this stuff happened. I was in a parallel universe with the government. My little government in this, it's a big town, but my neighborhood's little. And I was like in a parallel universe with, right. You know, the authorities here, and all of this stuff happened. If I kept talking about it, I could talk you into spring.
Well, and then it all makes sense when you realize how interconnected all of it is, and how they keep using the same strategies on small scale and the big scale. That's really interesting. Now, the people I've heard that are like raving about Trump, and you don't really see them on X that much unless they're like Trump sycophants. But like I talk to people, they aren't Trump sycophants. They don't gain anything from it. And they, you know, I'll talk to people and they'll just say like Trump is killing it. He is destroying every, like all of America's enemies overseas. They love what he's doing with China. They love what he's doing with the Middle East. They love what he's doing with Venezuela. And I see the disconnects. These guys are patriots. They really are. They love America. And they, what they perceive Trump doing is, you know, fixing all these problems that they have. But I notice it's people like they care about the military and they care about the stock market. And because stocks are so high and because the military is prioritized, they seem, you know, very confident in what Trump's doing. And it's the argument I make that there's kind of two types of Americas. They perceive sort of the corporate international economic America as benefiting. But I say those benefits are not going to the American people. It's not, you know, it doesn't help the American people when we make a trade deal with China because we're giving up 600,000 of our, you know, Congress, college, you know, university admissions. All this other stuff. So I see it as you know, a difference in perspective of what you value or how you judge a success of a country. And it seems like people that are judging it by the stock market and by military activity think Trump is amazing. People that are looking around at the actual military material well-being of American citizens are saying Trump is missing the boat. How do you think that plays into your interpretation, Tony?
Well, I think that just the average people, they're doing great. That's how I see it. And I'm like, well, I'm the poorest guy on my street without a doubt, you know, Medicare and all that. And it went from confusing to very complicated, absolutely sophisticated what they did to me here. Mm. And my situation is small potatoes compared to what's going on out there. And like I said, people should be teaching their children about InfoWars or things similar, or just send them to Harrison Hill just to, you know, to get, you know, because like my nephew, oh, I can't listen to the guy yelling at me after work. Well, then listen to Harrison Hill. He doesn't yell at you, you know, and it's like, you know, but you'll still understand the more, even if you tuned in for 15 minutes a day. Over time, you get like, I got addicted to it. And I'm like, this is crazy.
Because it's not fun to be blind and deaf walking around. It's, you know, you got to, once you realize that there are people out here who actually know what's going on and can explain it to you, it's hard to not be tuned into that, not be on their frequency. Thank you so much for the call, Tony. I do appreciate it. And you hit on an important point there. Share the links. Share the stories. If there is one thing that is absolutely undeniable, it's that the awakening has been intense over the last decade, and a lot of that credit goes to Alex Jones and InfoWars. And I'm not even taking that credit myself, except that I've been blessed enough to play a part in this, but so have you, especially if you've ever been to thealexjonesstore.com, ever been to InfoWarsStore.com, ever shared a link, ever contributed in any way, then you're also, you know, just as equally important as every other InfoWarrior, because it's our combined efforts that have actually shattered the Overton window, have actually broken, you know, awareness out of containment. We have been successful in that. So, you know, where it goes from here, who's to say whether politically we've had as much success as we'd want? I'd say no, but that is in no way trying to downplay the incredible success of just sheer awakening that we've had. And that is because people send the links out. They talk to their friends and family. They notice this stuff and spread the word, or make your own videos and make your own talk shows and become your own TikTok superstar and make your own money through it. I mean, it's a gold rush right now. Only instead of gold, it's information and awareness and awakening. Instead of cash, we get spiritual validation. Thank you so much for the call, Tony. Let's go to Charles in Georgia now. Also says he does not think it's been a waste. Go ahead, Charles. You're on the air.
Hey, what's up, Harris? person, no, I don't think the last 10 years has been a waste. Unfortunately, it may have been the smaller part of the U.S. or world population, what is it, 3, 5, 10%, that has been illuminated on how the game is played. And if that's all the number it takes to make world changes, so be it.
True.
But I think on a larger scale, I think the human consciousness generally has been so bifurcated that we're thinking, talking, and acting out very minuscule efforts and concepts and thoughts that really won't advance our personal or our species in a big way. Think about it. 100,000 years ago, humanity was concerned mainly about the big animals that could kill us or keeping warm or finding food. We have conquered all of that now, but we still have a sense of we need to be fighting something. I don't know if it's in the genes or in our intellectual, psychological stories that have carried down. But think about this. When Russia and the United States gets joins forces to go up to the space station and we can go to the moon, we put all of our efforts on a given project, and we unify. Human beings do not have overall concepts of being a family, number one, because we're always thinking of ourselves as black or white, U.S. or Russia, this or that. We're bifurcated. And until and unless we think of ourselves as a unit and have a purpose, what in the hell do we think we're on this earth and have a conscious and life force to do? If we can't even formulate one or two simple concepts, well, to enjoy, to explore, to live as peaceful and healthily as we can. These are all common ideas that we all want. So let's work towards that. And I could talk forever, but let me wind down by saying this. Unfortunately, the world's vibration is broken down primarily into good and evil. I don't mean unfortunately, but it is. And I think unless and until we remember that there are secret forces that seek to keep us bifurcated so that they can have us do the work, so they don't have to work at all, so that their generations can be work-free. This has been the same thing from the Romans to the Egyptians to the Africans back in the pharaohs. There's always been these potentates that don't do work, but they'll say, we'll be your spiritual leader, we'll be your military leader, we'll be your wisdom sage. You go do the work and bring the spoils to us. And so there's been this bifurcation of the top of the pyramid and the rest. So we have to go back to this thing of saying, wait a minute, as human beings, we need to define a balance of power. What is a fair balance of power, whether it be wealth or other kinds of power? Now, let me say this. Go to, tell all your all the listeners to go to the Teeny Dot on YouTube. It's a simple video of 6 minutes that was done by Larken Rose, L-A-R-K-E-N, that you've had on a number of times back in the past, the Teeny Dot. It is the most powerful thing to explain that human beings in our great masses have the power to overturn the few that rule us immediately if we could just perceive where we're at, that we have that power. But we have to have, again, other people want to talk, but we're talking about, we always think in terms of fighting something or war, but that's because we don't have a vision of anything else to do. How about let's really get together and solve diseases? How about let's get together and solve homelessness and poverty all around the world? These are things that are needed, but and we cannot leave it up to our leaders. Donald Trump, he has his limitations. He's a great man. RFK, super. But I think the ultimate, and this is my last point. I can speak forever, but this is my last point. I think the ultimate thing that the universe wants us to learn, that the power and the knowledge and everything you need is within you, the individual. And until we individually get illuminated to something that points us in a higher direction, collectively we'll never get there either. So nobody's going to come and save us. We can believe that there's a God. What if God, you know, the Bible, is only waiting on us to do everything we can do within our power before he busts even one great to come down here on this earth again to help us? What if he's saying, as a good father, I taught you right, and there's no way in the world I'm going to treat you like a child now when you're an adult and come and help you when I know you have everything you need to help yourself? What if that is what God is waiting on? Well, then if we don't help ourselves and get in the fight within first to realize we are sovereign and fight any power that tells us we're not sovereign and force the systems to bring it back into balance, there's no reason why a few thousand or 10,000 people should have $1 billion when people are starving. Mm-hmm. There's no reason why we have these inequities. And finally, government. What the hell is government? Government is something we have. It's an illusion that we have said these people or this power can do this, that, and the other to us and for us.
I completely agree.
That is one of the major things that hurt us. We have to say, no, I am the government, and we will decide as the masses what we choose. So I could go on and on.
You're tearing down all the walls, Charles. I could let you go on and on, but I'd be in dereliction of my duty. I guess I have to talk. I'm supposed to be doing a show here, but I could honestly just keep listening to you because you clearly are on that next level and on that elevated level. I could go into like everything that you said, and I think at one point you were pointing to like when it comes to like this priest class and whether it's Rome or Egypt, and some people intellectualize while everybody else works. And there's a great quote that's like, because I was actually just thinking about this and how like you really do want like warriors in charge, not because you want people with a mindset of war, but because you want people who know what that is and aren't going to take unnecessary risks because they know what that's like and aren't going to send soldiers to die for a pointless cause because they were those soldiers at one point. And there's a great quote that's something like, if you don't have soldiers as your thinkers, you end up with your thinking done by cowards and your fighting done by fools. And that's kind of where we're at, where the intellectual types have taken power and are totally disconnected and kind of incapable of even, understanding the physical world around them and what's really compelling people to do things, whereas the people on the ground are just doing what they're directed to do and not thinking too much about it. Man, very, very elevated stuff there, Charles. Powerful. I guess to answer the question, you'd say it's a good thing. It is a good thing. So it seems to me like the awakening that we've experienced, that is at the heart of it. And that's what we try to tell people. And there's the limitation of language. It's hard to express this sometimes, but it's one of the things that I've tried to at least insinuate over and over, which is like when you are first red-pilled, you can have a number of different reactions. None of them are good, right? You can go, oh my God, they're so powerful, I'm depressed. You can go, oh my God, everything's controlled, I need to just break it all down, I need to go crazy. Like, you can have a lot of different responses, but they're all wrong. And what you need to do is internalize it and, reground yourself with like your spiritual beliefs and understandings. It can be easy to see a bunch of new stuff about people or a group of people or a nation or whatever and go, I hate them. And then you have to step back and go, I don't hate anybody. What's really going on here? Who's really doing what? And when you do that, when you do take yourself out of it a little bit and just look at it objectively, bird's eye view sort of thing, what you come out with is like, okay, everybody's a victim at a different level. And just because one group of people is doing something, claiming to do it on behalf of the whole group of people, that doesn't really count. It doesn't really matter, right? I can sit here and claim to represent everybody in Texas, but I'm really just some dude, right? Nobody's given me authority over to do that. And again, the reason it's kind of even hard to talk about all this is because it is something you sort of just have to experience for yourself. You have to do the research and understand and not take your first conclusion that you might come to until you think about it a little bit more and really look at it from every different angle and listen to your enemies and say, okay, I'm going to try to see the world through their perspective. Can I empathize with them? Once I do empathize with them, am I on their side? You don't have to be on somebody's side to empathize with them. I can empathize with a criminal. I can understand what it's like to really want something so bad that you go and take it. I can understand what it's like to hate somebody just because they looked at you the wrong way and you just want to teach them a lesson because they've, you know, in your perception, harmed your honor, right? Like, doesn't mean I agree with you. I can empathize with evil. It's still evil. I can empathize with the other side and still recognize it's bad. So all of this is to say that when you, and it's not a line, it's not, I'm not saying this because I have done the calculus and I think this is politically the best way to approach it. It's because when you study this stuff, honestly, when you really try to get to the bottom of it, you see that it's the deception itself that's bad, that the people that believe the deception are victims themselves. You actually do come out on the other side understanding that hate begets hate and that love's the only thing that will, you know, defeat it, and that the people that you may have despised are in fact themselves much worse victims. Hell, look at Rob Reiner, right? You might hate Rob Reiner. You might have hated Rob Reiner when he was alive. The things he said were utterly despicable. And the way that he tried, I remember that he did, unless I'm mixing him up with somebody else, he did Princess Bride, right? And there were, like, he's trying to, anyway, you can not like him. You can hate him. You can despise him. You could do all of those things. Well, now we understand his life was hell. He had a son that was on drugs. They were fighting. He eventually is killed by his own son. Like, what a horrible tragedy. I mean, that family has been utterly destroyed. His daughter now has a brother who killed her parents. Like, so do you really hate him? He was a bad guy. You know, I didn't like him. I didn't think he was exactly the most positive influence in American society. But then you understand this dude was obviously horribly miserable, like in a million different ways. Maybe that informed why he was saying some of this stuff. Again, doesn't mean that you go, oh, so I like him now. I mean, he still said that despicable stuff. But at least you can understand, like, okay, and maybe you take comfort in that. You go, hey, I hate this guy because of what he says and I hate his ideas. But I know in the back of my mind, that guy has got to look in the mirror every day and he hates what he sees. I get to go home to my family who loves me and we all have a wonderful time. He's got to worry about his son overdosing in you know, some gutter somewhere. Like, again, when you really, like, understand the human condition, you understand it's really not easy to condemn anybody. And it's that understanding that will actually get you out of the feedback loop of just despising everyone and trying to, win over as if this is some just material contest. So, wow. Brilliant call, Charles. I really, really enjoyed that. I got so much that I was not able to cover today. I'm going to make sure to cover it tomorrow. I got all sorts of people talking about anti-Semitism and our chief anti-Semitism officer coordinating with big tech. I'm going to get into all of that tomorrow. So I'll see you then here on The War Room. Stay tuned, folks. Go to thealexjonesstore.com to support us. Won't you? Please.
Ladies and gentlemen, Nitric Boost, the all-time fan favorite, is now back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com. You've looked at our formula. You like it?
I did, and I do. Yes. Well, nitric oxide is a key. It's made by our own bodies again. It's made by L-citrulline and L-arginine, the amino acids.
Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Judy Mikovits, without me even knowing she'd gotten it and used it, came on years ago and said this was the best spike protein detoxer she'd found.
So you want to boost your own body's ability. The nitric oxide relaxes the endothelium, the vasculature. It relaxes the vein. So I use the two, your InfoWars. I keep that on my shelf. And I feed myself the Cardio Miracle, which is just straight food. It's a different formulation than that one. And the two together are a 1-2 punch. So you get in your food the ability to make what you need and no more.
It is already a nationwide best-selling bodybuilding product for over 20 years. Bodybuilders take it as it helps grow muscles and better workouts and things. So for those of you that love Nitric Boost, it's back in stock right now at InfoWarsStore.com. And for those that haven't tried Nitric Boost, you are really missing out. Secure your Nitric Boost right now at InfoWarsStore.com. We're battling in the courts. We're still here. A year after the Onion said they bought us, we might actually hold on and win. But regardless, the shopping cart's there, the shipments are going out, and you will get your product. But if you don't order it and support us, we'll be off the air. So please take action now at InfoWarsStore.com and experience Nitric Boost for yourself. It's good for men and women. Get your Nitric Boost now, right now, exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. And thanks for being the reason, one way or another, we'll always be on the air. InfoWarsStore.com, Nitric Boost, back in stock.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.